broadcasting worldwide on internet radio.
Refreshing takes on legal strategies.
Straightforward answers to difficult tax questions.
Independent ideas on building wealth. It's the Refresher Wealth Show with Mark Kohler and Matt Sorensen.
Get your free copy of Mark and Matt's ebooks and sign up for their weekly free newsletter with important tax deadlines and articles at refreshyourwealth.com.
Now, here's Mark and Matt.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Refresh Your Wealth with yours truly, Mark Kohler, and my amazing co-host, Matt Sorensen.
Yes, sir.
That was your,
here.
That present. Was your cue. Did you
present.
Get that cue?
Okay. Present.
Bueller, Sorensen. Yeah. Well, welcome. Hopefully, we've got some new listeners today wondering if we are legit. Yes, we are. We are both attorneys, tax attorneys. I'm a CPA, and Matt is an expert on retirement plans and self-directing. Together, we do the show every week, helping clients around the country try to save taxes, build wealth, protect their assets. And so even though we ham it up and we sound dorky, which we are, we try to keep it enjoyable. So welcome. Mm-hmm. Buckle up.
Yeah. You know, I mean, we call it the dynamic duo. You know,
yeah. We're the only ones that do.
Yeah.
I haven't heard it anywhere else, but you do, so.
That's true. I think I was.
When you say they call us the dynamic duo, who are you referring to? There's someone in particular.
Someone was joking with me at a conference, and they're like, "You're like Batman and Robin." I'm like, "Don't say I'm Robin, though." And then they're like, "Okay. Maybe you're more like Bert and Ernie."
You're like, I don't know what that means,
but
yeah,
whatever. You know, we're just two dudes here trying to have a good time talking about tax and legal strategies. So thank you for being here. This show's all about better helping you live the American dream.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're going to just live up to that hope today and trying to give you some great information that can impact your life.
That's right. It's a high bar, but we're willing to give it a shot. Today's topic is something that, I'm not kidding, every person listening to the show is going to benefit from, because the auto deduction is one that is oftentimes underutilized. I see it so many times reviewing clients' tax returns. They're new clients. They're coming in. They're like, "Hey, show us where we can save." And we got our top 10, top 15 little, you know, hot buttons we like to hit. And this is one of them. And we thought, you know what? We haven't done a show on auto deduction strategies for a couple of years. And there's some big changes in 2018.
Yeah. For anybody who's self-employed, you know, this is a huge item on your tax return. This is also something we're getting to the end of the year. I think, you know, maybe a little extra incentive to buy something new. I don't know. Mark might give you a license to buy here.
Yeah.
Go home to your spouse and say, "Yeah, this is for taxes. That new thing in the driveway, it's for taxes, baby."
Yeah. Just don't mention my name. I don't want the marriage counseling bill later. But
in fact, Mark Kohler actually did a commercial with GM. Was it GM?
Yeah, it was.
Mark was the talent, the CPA accountant, basically promoting purchasing vehicles for your business as a tax strategy, right? And that's kind of what it was.
Yeah, yeah. I should reach out to them again. I mean, this is the perfect time of year.
That was a cool commercial. We got to get that out. We got to throw that in the newsletter or something. It was just cool.
Yeah, it was fun. And the sad part is, like, I feel like I'm selling out because I hate car commercials. Oh my gosh. And it's like they're the only ones that can afford it during the NFL season. Every commercial is either Verizon or a car commercial. It's like I shouldn't say Verizon, T-Mobile. It's like cell phone or car commercial. I don't even get a good beer commercial. What, you know, dilly-dilly. Yeah. Why don't I get dilly-dilly? You know, I just, gosh.
Yeah, hard it's true.
Sick of them. Okay, well, we're going to hit it. And before we get to the legal tip, Matt, which I know you're going to hit, because if you're new to the show, we do a tax and legal tip every week, trying to just help people with, you know, something new, fresh, and then we hit our topic of the day. We're going to skip the tax tip because this whole show is the mm-hmm. auto deduction tax tip. So Matt's going to handle the legal tip, but Matt, I've got a little factoid here. This is going to, you'd be shocked. I was totally shocked. Yeah. So I get the Wall Street Journal every day and mm-hmm. I scan it for anything good because keep your friends close and your enemies closer. So
yeah.
I want to know what's going
on
in
Wall Street up to, man. You gotta keep tabs on them. Yeah, they'll get you.
Hence the subtitle of my newest book, What Wall Street Isn't Telling You, because it's evil. But so I scan the Wall Street Journal. So this was in the journal this week. I cut it out. I can't remember which page it's on. No, I think it's on the front page. It was down in the corner. One of the little interesting notes. Okay, check this out. A 2003 Mercedes station wagon, you know, definitely on everybody's bucket list.
Yeah.
2003.
Is this a diesel or regular gasoline?
Yeah, just
piece doesn't of matter.
15-year-old Mercedes station wagon just sold at the Delaware car auction for $420,000.
Wow.
The blue book value is only $6,800. Matt, I will let you guess. Why do you think it sold for that much?
Was there a bag of cash for $410,000 in the back seat?
There was drugs in the trunk, apparently. Okay. No.
Someone famous owned it? Someone died in it? What?
The license plate was the number 20. That's it? Yeah. So check this out. For a fringe of American drivers, having a fine car is now not enough. I'm reading from the article. They must have low license plate numbers too, and they're fueling competition for the tags that can be relentless. In Delaware, a decades-long obsession over tags with few digits has given rise to a vibrant private market. So if there was recently someone bid several hundred thousand dollars for the number 4, because they just wanted the number 4 on their license plate, and they'd buy the crappiest car to just get the license plate. So this is classic.
This is crazy.
Guess the name of this will tell you, you know, the type of people buying this stuff. The name of the guy that bought the
Vladimir
number 20, his name was William Lord.
William Lord, okay.
Maybe a little bit of a complex. And of course, what was his occupation before? Don't be offended, any of our clients, which we have many. A retired dentist, of course. And I have a dentist friend that would just do this. I know he would.
Yes. You
know.
Yes.
Dennis, I love you guys, but dentists are just a different cut. You know, Matt and I could literally describe certain clients and we go, oh, that's a realtor. Nope, that's an engineer. Oh, that's a dentist. It's just funny. And, you know, and lawyers are the same way. Accountants are the same way. You all have characteristics. You don't know this. We see this.
You all go to the same schools. You learn the same stuff.
Yeah.
And you end up thinking the same and asking the same questions.
Yeah. So William Lord says, I just got caught up in the moment. He says, I wanted it and I'm happy I did it. And who wouldn't be? The plate reads number 20. $420,000.
Wow.
Now here's the, okay, final question. Is that tax deductible?
Ooh, the whole purchase of the car?
I don't know. I sent this around to 5 other CPAs as soon as I got this and I was like, could we depreciate this as part of the car value?
Yeah.
Wow. Interesting, seems like, right?
Well, can you depreciate collectible cars? Because it seemed like that plate has got to have more collectible value.
If you use it for business,
you got to depreciate
the cars for business. Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't. I don't have the time right now. I'm so freaking busy to research it. But if any of our clients out there are spending more than blue book value, which you might spend on a car, right? And it's business. You don't have to have your name on the side of the car. It's a strategy we're going to talk about today.
Wow.
You use it for business. So if William Lord is driving around to his little dental offices with this $420,000 Mercedes station wagon, what do we do on the tax return? Huh? Big one.
Wow.
Interesting.
See, we're getting to the issues that are really, you know, at the heartbeat of America today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Another third world problem. First world problem. What do you say?
Yeah.
If this is the problem you're facing in your life, you know.
Yeah. Life's good.
Yeah. We got issues. No.
Yeah. Well, we're going to hit obviously the big topics today. You know, and this is a common question about do I need to wrap my car? And, you know, when do I get to write off my miles? Do I take actual expenses? What if I want to buy a car by year end and write the whole thing off? I mean, we're going to hit all that stuff today. This is a huge, huge topic. Should be a number one or a primary expense item for your business is writing off your travel auto. We'll be obviously hitting that today. But let me hit the legal tip first here, and then I will turn it over to Mark for – are you going to do a tax tip, or are we just going to roll into auto?
I say we roll into auto because we're going to be crammed for time anyway. I've got probably 10 or 20 slides I want to try to use from my webinar series. Many of you that catch my webinar every month. And we've got a webinar tonight. We'll talk about that. But yeah, no, I'm not going to do a tax tip. And Matt,
okay,
you run with it, baby. Legal tip. I'm excited to hear what you got today.
Okay. You're going to like this. All right, let's hit the legal tip.
A legal tip that you can actually use.
A legal tip where you don't feel like you have to take a shower after.
Okay, so the legal tip today is about choosing the right partner in your business. Man, now, I was listening.
I don't know where that's going. Choosing the right partner to marry. I was like, wow.
Mark, don't listen. Okay. Don't listen here.
Choosing the right partner for business.
For your business, yeah. Okay, okay. Or this could be investments, maybe even in life. I don't know. Okay. But I was listening. There's someone I've really started reading and listening to. His name is Howard Marks. He's an investment professional. He has a company called Oak Tree Capital Management. Really brilliant guy. He's written some books. He has a new one out right now, and he was being interviewed on the Tim Ferriss podcast, and he has had a partner for 31 years. I found this really insightful. And Tim Ferriss asked him, he said, well, what is the success to having a good partnership? What should good partners do? And he's asking about all these, you know, famous partnerships in business from, you know, Steve Jobs and Wozniak, and you know, you go through all the tech people.
Yeah, and Mark Kohler, Matt Sorensen.
Mark Kohler, Matt
Sorensen. They probably brought us up. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So, but I thought this was really interesting. He said, well, actually, the question is, who should you partner with to begin with? Not how do you make a good partnership once you're already in a partnership with somebody, but how do you choose the partner to begin with?
Okay.
Because he says you have to have compatibility, and he made two really important points. And I think this is for those of you who are starting a business, or maybe you're reflecting on your own partnership or investing with someone else. These are two really good points. He said, first, you must have shared values. And he said, for example, if one of you is like, let's make money at all costs, and someone is like, no, we have to have integrity in everything we do, he's like, you guys aren't going to work well together. And you can have two people that are, we should have integrity in everything we do, even if it costs us money, or we can have two guys that are, let's make money at all costs, and those two people can work great together. You know, they're going to have very different businesses, but you have to have compatibility in your approach to business and just your general ethics and your values. And so first, make sure you're doing business with someone that has the same values. Otherwise, you're going to have significant friction. Okay. And his second point was, he says, make sure that you're not partnering with someone that's just yourself. You need to have someone that you partner with that has skills that complement you. You need to have complementary skills to each other. He says, if you're just partnering with someone that's essentially your twin, you're not getting anything. You're just getting more of what you already have. You need someone that complements you. And he just talked about his own partnership and how he and his partners are very different thinkers. He says he is a fast thinker. He reacts fast. He's intuitive. He goes with his gut. That's how he makes his decisions. And he values that he can process information quickly and come to a quick conclusion. His partner, on the other hand, he calls him a grinder. He thinks about it. He goes one way. He goes back the other. Then the next day, he readdresses the same thing they talked about a week ago. And, you know, and he just grinds through thinking and thinking and thinking. But those two things are very valuable because they go back and forth. They can get quick answers. They can also hash out stuff. And so I thought it was really insightful about just choosing the right partner in your business and just reflecting on, you know, who should I partner with? And this could be, again, an operating business. This could be an investment, anything you're putting your time and money into. And maybe this could even be in your personal relationships. I don't know. But yeah. I just thought that was really insightful, and it was a great legal tip, because so many businesses, so many of our clients are partnerships. Obviously, Mark and I are partners, and choosing that right partner, I don't care what you put in your partnership agreement. If you can have the best agreement, but if you got the wrong people together, it's just not going to work. Yeah. You know, you can have the most words on paper, that ain't going to solve anything.
Wow. That was deep.
Yeah.
Peering into my soul.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah. We can have fun with this. We'll get distracted. I'm going to have to rein in a couple comments that I do want to talk about, because just in our office this week, we had two different approaches to a couple problems, but it was good. You know, we complimented each other. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So anyway, well, we'll get distracted if I get into it. But Matt, you're a great partner.
You're a great partner. Yeah.
Thank you. Little love fest here.
Yeah. So, all right, guys. It's cool.
All right. Okay. All right. Well, let's do it. Okay. Now let's jump into this topic, and we'll just, Matt, I've kind of got an outline here. And so I'll maybe bring it up, make a couple thoughts. I know you can enhance that and add your perspective, and we'll just kind of burn through it. How's that sound?
Yeah, that sounds good. In other words, guys, Mark knows this stuff way better than I do. And when he says you can enhance stuff, that's like, I'm going to make a joke here or there, or maybe ask Mark a question, but I don't know the answer to. So,
well, that we you're the color commentary. So
I'm color commentary today.
So if you're into, you know, football. Okay, now, as an aside, tonight it's the other way around. So I'm going to just give this a quick plug. So every month we do a webinar, a full hour with webcam, slides, live Q&A, and I do a different topic every month, and I record it. So whenever you join the webinar series, it's $20, and then you can watch the last 11 webinars and then catch the new live one every month and participate with Q&A. So anyway, tonight we're doing well, I've got to say this. This is, I don't know if we get to iTunes before, it should before tonight's time, start time. But anyway, that's a side note. It's always recorded, like I said. But tonight we're doing the self-directed IRA strategies, basics to advance. And I've got my special guest, Matt Sorensen, joining us.
Yeah.
So I'm just going
to let you. Pleasure and honor to be on. I'm looking forward to it.
Yep. So anyway, for those that are wondering how to get involved, just check the newsletter and you'll see the link to the webinars, and you can get involved every month and catch the old ones, and you'll love it. So it's where we really peel away the topic and dive into it deeply. Okay. So first point on auto. This is an important one. Remember, folks, auto is different than travel. That's point number one. Easy schmeasy. Travel is airfare, hotel, rental cars, Uber, subways, valet, taxis, if you really use a taxi. But the point is, that is travel. Auto is when you're driving your own car. So you've got to keep those separate. And those are going to be two different lines on your tax return. And that's where the rubber meets the road. Did you get that?
Nice. Nice. Huh? Did you walk into that, or did you plan that line?
I did not plan that, actually.
Okay.
I can't take credit for a lot of those puns, but I will take credit for that one.
All right.
Okay. That's point number one. Anything you want to add there? Okay.
No, you stole the joke. You took the joke. I mean, I didn't.
Oh, you were going to do that joke?
No, I didn't. I didn't even think of that one. That was good. All right. You're doing my job. You're doing great. You're doing great.
Thanks, partner. All right. Okay. All right. Okay. All right. Number two, this is another big point, is you've got to decide right at the beginning, are you going to go mileage or actual? Now, actual is where you're going to write off the car, write off the lease. This is the RV maybe, the truck, the SUV. And there's some big write-offs up front. It's kind of like, I want to get my write-off up front type strategy. And then you're going to write off gas, fuel, repairs, maintenance, blah, blah, blah. That's the actual method. Now, in order to do actual, any vehicle you choose has to be at least 50% business. So if you have a day job and you've got rental property on the side, hey, I'm still doing auto, or we're still doing an auto write-off, but we're going to lean towards mileage, because your vehicle is not going to be 50% business use, because you just use it to go check on your rentals or drive across the country once a year to go check on your rentals, whatever. But to go actual, you have to be at least 50% business. And that's why a large majority of our clients use mileage, because it's simple, it's easy. You might be hovering around 50%, less than that, whatever. And so mileage is wonderful. And this year it is 54.5 cents per mile for business in 2018. So,
yeah, that's nice. Now let's say, I'm just trying to think, give me an example. I think you get a great example. The kind of day job person that has rental properties is almost always going to be a mileage person. I mean, I think a lot of people are like, am I an actual guy or am I a mileage guy?
Yeah.
And I think most people are mileage people, right?
Yeah. Like, yeah.
You kind of need a special situation to move you into actual. You need an additional unique reason to be in actual. And like actual means like I'm depreciating the value of the car, right? I'm writing off the insurance. I'm tracking the gas that I buy, right? I'm like writing off the actual costs I'm paying to have and drive this car.
I like the way you ask that. Let's maybe phrase it this way. What are some trigger events that might push you into actual? A trigger might be you're going to get a bigger truck or an SUV. Those are clear, obvious analyses time. You want to say, ooh, this could be the time I'm going to go into an actual method. Number two, you might lease. If you're going to lease a car, now we'll come back to leasing a little later. When does leasing make sense? But if you're going to lease, you're 9 times out of 10 going to go down the actual path.
Okay.
Another trigger event might be that you're going to buy a new car this year, new or used, but you're going to buy a new car this year. Cause see, once you choose a method, you're stuck with that method. So some of you are like, well, I've got a business and oh, this is great. Maybe I should go one or the other. Well, it's already, your decision's already done. Because if you're already in business, your accountant and you have already figured this out and you're stuck with the method until you buy a new car. That'd be a trigger event. I don't know. That's kind of...
Okay.
All right.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. Now...
I will accept that answer.
Okay. Now, here's the big topic today. For the last 20 years, literally... I'm not even kidding. For the last 20 years, 90% of our clients have been mileage folks. If you were going to get an SUV or a truck, or you were going to get an RV and use it predominantly for business, maybe rent it out or drive it to trade shows and different things, okay, cool. But if you, 9 out of 10 business owners were just going mileage, it was simple, it was easy, and you got a better write-off for your auto. Not again, truck and SUV out of the mix. But if I just had cars, we're going to go mileage. That's been the rule.
Yeah.
The game has changed because under the new Trump GOP Tax Cuts and Jobs Act enacted at the last minute of 2017, now in effect for 2018, you got to reevaluate because they really updated the archaic rules for writing off cars. So the car write-off has gotten a lot better. So we're going to see, I think this year, maybe only 40 or 50% of our clients go with mileage because if you're going to get a new or used car, the write-offs are unbelievable. Now, let me give you some math, Matt. For example, the old rules, a luxury vehicle was anything over
$15,800. Yeah.
Like this is back in the 1970s when this all got done, you know?
Wow, yeah.
And so if you bought a $40,000 car last year and drove it 100% for business, it would take you 19 years to fully depreciate that car.
Yeah.
Because a $40,000 car was considered like the Mercedes of 1972 or whatever. So that's the rules we were dealing with. But under the new rule, the so-called luxury automobile limits don't kick in until after 50,000. And then there's new bonus depreciation rules and faster depreciation. So this year I could buy a car under 58,000. We don't want to get too detailed here, but let's just work with me. If I buy something under 58,000, new or used.
Yeah.
And I put a dollar down, I finance the whole thing, whatever. You don't have to buy this with cash. I can write off over 75% of the car in the first 3 years. And my first year depreciation is $18,000. So I could go buy a new car on December 31st, new or used, put down a dollar, and get an $18,000 write-off pulling out of the parking lot.
Yeah.
And that was unheard of in the past. So this is where the game's changed.
Yeah. And I think for a lot of people, a lot of business owners were, you know, they're thrifty. Let's be honest. A lot of business owners, you know, you should be. And to them, you used to have to buy a new vehicle, right? And driving a new vehicle off the lot, sure, I used to be able to depreciate that. Man, I also just lost $10,000 in value the minute it's not, no longer a new car.
That's right, that's right.
So buying used is, you can usually get better value. You know, you don't get that new car smell, or you got to get the artificial new car smell. But so it can be a better deal for you. And for the thrifty business owner, now you're able to still depreciate, right? I can take this actual expense. I'm not stuck in this new only rule. It just has to be new to me.
Yeah. And this is where, love him or hate him, Donald Trump, he's definitely unconventional as our president. And I know some of you listening to the show completely hate him. But if you're a business owner, this is where you got to swallow a little pride and go, man, this guy is kicking butt for me.
He did me a couple solids. I'll give him that, right?
That was good. Yeah. He did a couple solids. And here's the thing is that, and I love that he didn't cave into the auto industry. Because the auto industry, they've always been pushing, got to buy new.
Yeah.
You get the 179, or you got to buy a new car to get bonus and all this crap. He's like, no, we need to stimulate the economy. And you know, if someone wants to go out and buy a used car, they get the same dang freaking deal. And I was like, man, thank you. That's what we've been needing. Because I'm, again, sick of car commercials, and everybody's got to go out and buy a new car. It's dumb. Go buy something.
Bringing that full circle back. Now I see where you're going with that.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
Maybe we'll see like some used car, like a CarMax commercial or something, you know, the used car lot, the big, you know.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe. I should reach out, you know, like I've got all that time. So
yeah.
just call people every day. Hey, can I do a commercial for you? So
he's an agent. Just get your agent on that.
Yeah. That's yeah.
Let me go back to mileage. I had a question on mileage. I just want to clarify. Okay. So I love the actual, but let's say I'm still kind of just, I'm just doing mileage. I'm not buying anything. I'm not buying a new car, or I'm not going to have 50% or more business use of it. So I'm in the mileage category. What do I need to track for mileage? Like,
oh, good.
What mileage counts? Like driving to the office versus like what counts in terms of mileage?
Okay, good. So those are two questions, you know, how to do it and what counts. So let's do how first. If you want to be anal, and this is where our engineer types out there listening to us, you know where I'm going with this. It's the interactive satellite type map and GPS apps that are really cool right now. And I love QuickBooks Self-Employed. You can take pictures of receipts. You can track your mileage. It uploads into QuickBooks. It's so slick. I've got the Deductor app, which I love, and we can get you a deal on that. You'll see it on a link on the newsletter every week, and you can track mileage, take pictures, go to QuickBooks, blah, 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 same thing. But many of you out there should have an app to track receipts and take pictures, and that is the more anal way to do it. You get in your car and you go, driving for business, going to see this client, beep, you know, and then it just tracks it. Mm-hmm. Now, what the down and dirty method, which probably 90% of us do, is you should have a written log or be able to produce one. But as long as you're not greedy people and you're not unethical or try to take more mileage than would be obvious for your type of business, the IRS is not going to get in your face on this. It's so rare. And there's probably someone listening who goes, well, I got audited on mileage 3 years ago and it was miserable and I had to come up with a mileage log. Well, you're one of 100,000 people. Seriously, you're part of a very, very elite club. So it just doesn't happen. So my point is, Matt, people just do your best to estimate ethical mileage. Write it in a log at the end of the year. Keep track of your beginning and ending mileage. If you want to tip people, this is the only audit I've been involved on auto, is that I had a client get a nasty letter. We don't think you did this in mileage. I was like, ooh, wow, I'm excited to get into this. I was like, woo, this, okay.
I get on
phone with the IRS agent, represent my client. I'm like, okay, what do you want? You know, we'll come up with anything you want. And I was expecting him to go, I want a log. I'm like, all right. Then I was going to tell my client to go home and write up a log, you know?
Right.
And it should be contemporaneous. I'm telling you, you know, the technical rule. So, of course, he was going to crinkle it up, pour coffee on it, chew off the edges. And it would certainly look like it's been in someone's glove box for, you know, months on end. Okay. But anyway, so I get on the phone with the agent. This is what I'm expecting him to say. And he's like, I'm cool with the mileage amount. I just want you to prove you actually did it. I'm like, what do you mean? He goes, I want you to prove that the beginning mileage at the beginning of 2015 was X, and at the end of 2015, it was Y. I don't need the mileage log. I'll take the mileage. You just proved to me he actually drove that car that many miles. And I was like,
oh, okay.
I was like, oh. And like, so he
the
had
the mechanic, the oil change place?
Yeah, yeah.
What do you do? That's right.
I called my client. I'm like, I want you to go to everywhere you've gotten your oil change, the dealership, any place you did tire rotation, blah, blah, blah. And I need a third party receipt where they wrote down your mileage when you dropped the car off at Jiffy Lube or whatever.
Yeah.
And so he for 2 weeks scrambled around, came up with enough that we were able to show the agent. He's like, okay, cool. Box checked. You're done. That was all. Wow.
Interesting.
Yeah. So what I've told clients is, and I've tried to do this, is always change your oil rotate your tires in December or January. December or January every year. Because what it does is it locks it down for the ending of the year and the beginning of the year. And it's just, and then put it in your tax records. Then write in the column off to the side, here's my estimated business miles, personal miles, commuting miles, and
yeah.
And that'll do. So
anyway. Interesting. So there you go.
Put it on your calendar, man.
This is a little happy holidays tip from Mark Kohler.
Yeah, there you go. I may have, in fact, yeah, remind me, that'll be my December 15th tax tip. I got to remember that.
All right.
Okay, now the thing that you said too, what qualifies? So yeah. It's almost easier to say what doesn't qualify. What doesn't qualify is commuting to your day job. So any okay. of you that you're working a small business in a day job, commuting is never right.
Well, even if it's your own business, right? You're going to the storefront, you're going to the office, right? Every day.
Fair enough.
That's
fair
commuting, enough. Right?
Commuting from your home to your stationary business that has a separate office every day, that commute is not a write-off.
Right. Okay.
Number two, any personal is not a write-off. So going to the grocery store, going to the movies, out to dinner, out to dinner. I mean, if you're going to have a business discussion with your business partner, your spouse, you know, blah, blah, blah. But you know what I'm saying, people, you're going to the lake for the weekend, whatever. So, now, what does qualify is as soon as you leave the office, which could be your home office, to meet with clients, go to the Apple store, go to Best Buy, go pick up supplies, go check on your real estate, go meet with a client, a customer, a vendor, blah, 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 go to a trade show, drive across the country to check on your rental, which happens to be by your grandkids, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. That's all business. So.
Okay. Love it.
Okay. Now, some of you are listening are like, okay, this is sweet. I got to go. I might get a new car this year, da, da, da. Well, guess what? It gets better. It gets better. I'm going to throw
okay. some. This is like the infomercial, right? Yeah.
I'm going to throw some. It gets
better. There's three easy payments, but it gets better.
It gets better.
We're throwing in an extra.
Okay. Yeah. You get an extra set of steak knives with this. Okay. All right. So here's the steak knives that you get with this deal. SUVs and trucks got even better because what the GOP and Trump bill did is they said there's this new – there's bonus depreciation, which has been around, but how bonus depreciation got better is it's unlimited, and it's on new or used purchases, which we've already referenced.
Yeah.
So not only what we were talking about was the car. You can write off up to 75% of it in the first 3 years. You buy under the luxury limits. You get $18,000 right out of the gate, $8,000 of bonus, and $10,000 in year one. But what gets cool is for an SUV and truck is because it weighs more than 6,000 pounds, the SUV and truck can now write off 100% in bonus. So you could buy a $75,000 SUV or truck. Hopefully it's a smart move for you. This is where the marriage counseling disclaimer comes in. But you could buy this $75,000 SUV or truck. And if it's 100% business and you've got another vehicle for personal use to go to the grocery store or the movies, this car is just used for those business errands and client schmoozing, 100% write-off on December 31st. What?
Wow. Yeah. I'm like the audience or the host. Wow. That is All right. Where now? How do people get this? Where do they go? Where
they go? You go to your 1040 at line 17. No, whatever.
Well, that's awesome. Now, bonus depreciation, that just means, I just think, more expense, right? More write-off. That's another way to say it, right? Yeah. And this is like kind of accountant geeky word. But this is big. I mean, I think this is, for those clients who are doing tax planning, this is a year-end item. And we're going to be working with a lot of clients this time of year on year-end tax planning. And, you know, we like to do kind of go through, you know, the usual suspects first. You know, I made some good money this year. I'm nervous about taxes. Where can I get some big write-offs? I mean, we're going to go through maxing out retirement plan contributions, buying a new vehicle here for your business.
Yeah.
Again, if it makes sense. We don't want to just, I mean, guys, you could give all your money to charity. If you want to just throw money away, you know, there's plenty of ways to throw money away and get deductions and expenses. So, but if there's business purpose and reason for that and, you know, some value out of that besides the deduction or expense, then consider it. But these are some of these quick year-end items I think a lot of people should really be thinking about.
Yeah. And I love, Matt, what you just said, because I want to hit some of these bad news or cautionary points. And this is a cautionary point you just brought up is, and I'm going to summarize it this way. Don't let the tax tail wag the dog. Don't go out and make maybe a good tax decision, but a bad economic decision. Mm. Many of you, I've joked about this at workshops. Many of you have heard me say this every year. I am not kidding. For the last 15 years of my career, every December 31st, I get a text or a phone call from a client that's tracked down my cell phone number. They're standing in a dealership looking at a big truck. And they're like, Mark, I need a tax write-off. Tell me this is the right decision. And right there's a spouse over there on their knees just praying, please, I'm going to kill you, Mark Kohler, if you say it's okay. I'm going to kill you. And I'm on the phone. Usually I'm like, it's some family function and I get this urgent text or call and there's some guys in a dealership, I got to buy this truck. And I'm like, dude, first, do you need a truck? No, maybe not. Is it, dude, have you looked at the gas mileage on this thing? Yeah, it's not great. Okay, could you use that money more wisely somewhere else? Yeah, damn it. And they just kind of hang up.
Yeah.
Happens every year. So Matt's point, I think, is a really good one for all. It's just, you know, it's, be smart. If you need a truck, if you need an SUV, and it's something that you can handle financially, heck, the tax write-offs are going to be amazing. But don't be dumb about it.
Yeah, and this isn't something that you're going to buy a new truck every year to sell and rebuy another one right the next year and think, oh, I'm just going to get this, you know, massive $50,000 or whatever, however, you know, the SUV or truck is deduction every year. I mean, what happens? Let's say I do take that 100% bonus depreciation and I want to sell in the next year or two. Do I have to recapture some of that depreciation because I took a huge expense on it?
Yeah, there's some timing involved depending on how long you kept the vehicle, what the normal depreciation schedules would have given you. Yeah. So you have to recapture some of that write-off that you got up front, and then you go out and buy a new truck and then you can wrap the new write-off into it. So it's kind of like a 1031 exchange, for lack of a better word. You buy a new truck at 2 or 3 years later. If you've already depreciated too much of it, you got to recapture that, and then you get the new vehicle, and that helps offset it. But on that note, this is a really important point. What was I going to say? I was going to say something really perceptive about that. But and some people say, "Well, Mark, I don't want it." This is what I was going to say. They say. I remembered, is, well, Mark, if I got to give the depreciation back, why do it? You know? And I'll say, hey, if you can get $20 from the IRS now, and 3 years from now, you got to give them $5 back, would you do it? Well, yeah, I'm getting an interest-free loan from the IRS. So people, whenever you can take a write-off up front now, you're always better than spreading it out. Because if it can save you taxes now, great. Now, if you can't, it's not going to save you. You're already in a loss. People, we're not going to be doing this. In fact, there's another disclaimer point. If some of you are just starting a business, you're going to make 10 grand in profit this year. This is not the year to go buy a new car for probably 9 different reasons. But for taxes, hell no. But if you've got a lot of income, you're trying to shelter, then this could be a good move, you know? So,
yeah. Love it.
Leasing. Should I bring up leasing?
Yeah. Well, are you going to talk about when to lease versus buy?
Yeah. I just want to hit I think I got just two more points. And so, and see if this, I know you've got a list there too. I didn't mean to cut you off.
I said one other thing here. I'll hit mine after you. Let's talk about leasing. I think
leasing. Leasing's another deceptive strategy because you watch these commercials and you're like, wow, I can really get a Range Rover for $450 a month or a Beamer for this or a Mercedes that for this. And leasing per month can be very affordable compared to buying. So, but any of you that have ever leased, you know what I'm going to bring up, and that is the mileage limits. And so they give you this really killer rate per month to lease the car because you're going to throw the keys back in 3 years and they're going to analyze the odometer. And if you went too many miles, then that really dings the value of the car because they're banking on a residual value on this car. So even though you can write off maybe 100% of the lease payment and all the gas, and on the tax side of things, it makes sense. You got to really, really, really evaluate how many miles you're going to drive and what is this car going to be for. So here's my practical point. Leasing is great for that second or third vehicle. That's kind of luxury. It's there to schmooze clients, go to those special appointments. You've got plenty of business use opportunities. You can argue that that leased vehicle is 100% business because you've got one or two other cars for the commuting and all the other crap. But this leased car's in the garage for those important business deals.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. And you know you're not going to put a ton of miles on it because you're not going to commute in this thing. That would be idiotic. So that's when leasing makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, and I've seen some clients do that. I have I mentioned this before, a client that's kind of a high-end real estate broker in Scottsdale that essentially does that, that has their Toyota essentially for, you know, day-to-day driving. But when they're showing a property, taking clients out, you know, going to their meetings with their broker or whatever, or other, you know, professionals in their field, I mean, she's driving the leased car, which would be the luxury car. I think that's a good way to go about it. Let's talk. I did have one other question though about interest. So, let's say I buy a car and I'm paying interest on the loan. I'm able to expense that, right? This is a cool thing. I understand, right? I can still expense that interest I'm paying. Plus, if I'm doing mileage, I get to take the mileage deduction. Is that right?
So that is a great point, Matt. In fact, I didn't even have it on my list to bring up. See, this is how we really complement each other. Is
there you go.
You can deduct interest on the auto loan on top of mileage. It's really the only perk you get because everything else is captured in that mileage deduction. Insurance, the depreciation, fuel, repairs, maintenance, tires, blah, blah, blah. But the interest on the auto loan is something that you need to talk to your accountant about. And Matt, this brings me back to you. I like how we were joking around about 5 minutes ago and you said, now, how do I get this deal? How do I get this deal? You know, like an infomercial, right? I should have said, here's how you get it. You talk to your accountant because some of you listening here are like, oh, this is awesome. And you're going to go talk to your accountant and you're going to get this womp, 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 some overly conservative, non-business oriented, non-aggressive accountant that's your brother-in-law or sister-in-law. And they're going to say, no, you can't do it. And you're like, oh, I guess Mark and Matt are crazy. No, guys. You've got an overly conservative accountant that's not a small business owner accountant, and it may be time to upgrade. Remember, this is your ship. You're the captain of your ship. Your accountant is a first or second mate, maybe even just a deckhand, you know, this is your tax return. You're the one responsible for it. So don't let your accountant freaking push you around because they're scared of their own shadow. Now, I'm not saying do anything unethical or illegal on your tax return. But for crying out loud, everybody listening, you know this, there's a continuum of gray, black, white, and aggressiveness. And it's okay to be a little aggressive for crying out loud.
There's 50 shades of gray, Mark. You missed the book, obviously.
It's not a little racy for me.
Yeah, it's 50 shades of gray, so I've heard. All right. Well, I love that business, that interest on the loan. I think for those doing mileage, a lot of people still do mileage. I do mileage, you know, and that's one of those items you're tracking. And you don't have to worry about anything else, right? I'm just worried about the mileage. I'm not worried about when I'm buying gas or my insurance payment or the, you know, about anything on the car, except don't forget the interest on the loan on the car. You do get to expense that also.
Yeah. And now, okay. And I've got one last unbelievable, it gets better tip. Okay.
And it gets better. Better.
Yeah. Okay. So if we threw in the steak knives, this would be the paring knife, right?
Yes. Okay. Ooh. And this is one is, you know.
Oh yeah. And we'll throw in a paring knife, right? Okay. Let's talk.
If you act now.
Yeah.
If you act in the next 24 hours.
Yeah, that can actually be a little true with this one. Okay, so we need to talk electric vehicle. So we got to throw this out there. And Elon Musk, the poor guy, he's going to get the crap beat out of him lately. So this is for you, Elon. We're going to throw out a little a Tesla tip here because you need a little more love. You got SEC in your grill, you know. Yeah. You and Martha Stewart can now go out to dinner and share your woes. Tesla Model X, folks, Tesla Model X, 100% electric. It is also qualifies as an SUV. Now, some of you may say, well, hold it. The Tesla Model X is not 6,000 pounds. Well, the curb weight is around 5,500 pounds, but it's the loaded weight. It's the gross loaded vehicle weight that qualifies you for the 6,000 pound SUV rule. And both Model X versions, the 75D and the 100D, both are over the 6,000 pound gross loaded vehicle weight. That little piece of paper that, you know, that's glued, you know, with the most powerful glue on the planet on the inside of your car door.
Yeah.
There's a GVW and a little number there. And it tells you the gross loaded vehicle weight. Well, that is, that's what tells you if your car qualifies as the 6,000 pound vehicle. I don't know why mattress tag owners haven't found where that they get that glue. You know, they've got kind of this mattress tag that's really quite flimsy.
Yeah. And is it really a violation of federal law to remove that? That's going to be next week's show, I think.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah, we should talk about that and pull our Fletch investigation there.
Yeah, okay, I love here's it. The cool. Like showing up in prison. What are you in for? I pulled some tags on that.
Like, bend over. You should not be in prison for that. You're an idiot. Oh my gosh. All right. Okay. Sorry. This
6,000 pounds.
Okay. 6,000 pounds. Now, here's the thing. Okay. Now, here's the cool part. Because the Model X qualifies as an SUV, and because of the new bonus depreciation, which is unlimited, and the 179 deduction, here's the perfect storm. If you're in your business and you're making over 100, 200 grand as a business owner, professional, whatever it is, so you're making money. You got to be making money, right? Because you can't just take these write-offs and get a massive loss. You're going to get audited. So you're making money. You're a business owner. You're listening to the show. You're like, oh my gosh. And you want that electric Tesla X. You could write off 100% of the vehicle the day you buy it. And also, you can get the $7,500 tax credit that's only allowed for electric vehicles. So you're writing off more than the car even cost you when you add this tax credit into the mix. And this is a dollar for dollar tax credit, which is unbelievable. So you start throwing this into the mix.
Yeah. Plus your state may have a state tax credit too, depending on your state for the electric. And then it gets even better.
Yeah. Now, I really have nothing else after this. That was the paring knife of the last of the day. But hybrid vehicles don't count. That was a good old day. So, you know, write off and the natural gas cars.
Credit, yeah.
Yeah, credits don't count for that. That credit, yeah. So you have to have this plug-in electric scenario to get this credit. And you always have to check the Fed website on how many Tesla X's have been sold during the year. Which you're probably not going to have a problem this year because Elon Musk has got production issues, but bless his heart. We totally want him to be successful. He's like the outsider. You know, everybody in Detroit does not want him to succeed. So
oh, yeah. You got to love the guy for what he's doing. So
yeah, I do. So anyway, so there's just kind of that final tip. So if any of you are in that electric vehicle mode, it gets better. So this is the year of the vehicle. I don't know. What do you call it? The year of the, what is Chinese zodiac? The year of the elephant, the year of the monkey.
Yeah.
I don't know. What are they?
The year of the automobile.
It is the year that for business owners, this is the year of the auto.
Yep.
Yeah. This is pretty cool. Thanks, man, everybody. Man, that was hopefully you got, it was fun. This is a tough topic. I'm proud of all of you that have listened to this whole show because you deserve a gold star.
Well, man, you drove some great points home, I have to say.
Oh, dude. See? I've got a good pun in there. That was good.
You really drove some good points. Every time we finish this topic, I'm like, what do I want? Do I need a vehicle? I've always, but this is, I think, again, for those for year-end tax planning, really important. Obviously, everybody, you're writing off your auto in some way. If you're self-employed, you got a business, even the rental property, you're writing off your auto in some way. So hopefully this is very, very useful. And I know, Mark, you've got some blog articles on some of these new rules too that people can go to get more detail at markjkohler.com, of course.
Yeah, please get to YouTube. Please subscribe to both of us have YouTube channels. Mine's got quite a bit on it, especially on the vehicles. So check out just YouTube, Mark Kohler Auto or SUV, and you'll see those. And I mean, this is money. You could drive this one to the bank. I mean,
you just drive this right to the bank.
Man, yeah. If we don't cut off this shit, it's going to go downhill quick.
Yeah.
No puns. Yeah. We can't do it. Well, everybody, thank you so much for listening. And we truly appreciate your patronage. Please share this podcast with your friends, your business owners, that business partner that you're recruiting right now on that legal tip.
Yeah.
If they don't listen to this show, they're not partner quality.
No. Yeah, that's it's a red flag if they're not. So it's a red flag.
Thanks, everybody. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to another hour of refreshing strategies to better live your American dream.
Don't forget to get your free copy of Mark and Matt's ebooks and sign up for their weekly free newsletter with important tax deadlines and articles at refreshyourwealth.com.